What's going on, Miles?
Hey, Brian. Happy Friday. And, you know, the reason we're running a bit late today is because I got a call from you, a video call. And I was like, okay, Brian doesn't normally just video call me out of nowhere. I was like, hey, Brian, how you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you were like, oh, yeah, just see you playing Helldivers 2 when we've got a show, like in 3 minutes. And I was like, what? I was like, our clocks don't. And then I remembered the clock spring forward in the States and the UK on different days because, you know, why do it at the same time? That would be far less confusing. So,
I love that you're trying to take responsibility for this, but I didn't even set up the live stream until about like 15 minutes ago. So, like, but neither one of us was really ready to do this show.
It was a team effort. Team effort.
Right. It took a team for us to be this late.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, man. So we're an hour closer. And then obviously next week we'll be even closer because this time next week we'll all be hanging out at PAX East, which is so surreal to think about. It doesn't even feel like it's happening. But
it doesn't feel that way. I think it's because I'm in denial. But we'll once we get there, it'll be hard to deny. All right, dude. Let's get this show started. We've got a lot to talk about. I think. I don't know. I threw together some shit. Hopefully it'll be interesting. I'm sure these guys are along for the ride, right? You guys all along for the ride out there? Let's fucking do this. This is PSVR Gamescast Live. We film live every single Monday, Wednesday, and Tuesday, Friday right here on YouTube. We do it live 6 p.m. Eastern for your viewing pleasure. We don't forget about those out there who need some oral pleasure, though. That's why our good friend Rypop puts us up on podcast services of your choice. And then, for all the people who just can't stand to sit through an hour or two of me and my co-host yapping away, then Rody the Gamecat General puts timestamps into the show after the fact. My name is Brian Pop, Nishan right here, PSVR Without Parole. Nishan over here to my left, your right, is Miles Dyer from youtube.com/Miles. What's going on, bud?
Hey, Brian. Hey, Game Cats. Hope you're doing well. Yeah, we are just days away now from PAX East. I've got my monies, my American dollar bills, you know, because that's what it's about. it's kind of, it still hasn't sunken in yet. And it will do, obviously, once I'm on the flight and out there. But I'm going to be heading out on Wednesday. Most people heading in on the Thursday. Going to be a lot of fun. And it's just going to be great seeing everyone there.
But, dude, the number of messages I've gotten from you know, personal messages or professional messages, people from, you know, the industry that want to like meet up, people like friends that are going to be there, you name it, Jeremy King. Dude, I've got so many messages from people all in regards to PAX East and shit that's happening, and people are trying to plan stuff, and I'm just like, dude, you don't even know. You don't even know. I just don't have time to respond to everybody. And I see the messages come through and go, okay, I'm going to spend like an hour later today just responding to messages about PAX. I have no idea. No idea, man. This week has been insane. You guys know I've had some personal stuff going on. I'm losing a day this weekend as well for some other stuff going on. And I have so much to do. And we almost didn't do this show today. Because last night, this is definitely some inside baseball stuff you probably don't need to know about. And also keep in mind that the game's not out yet and that developers are now aware because I told them. I was trying to get the Patreon footage and review footage for a playthrough of Twilight Zone last night on PSVR 2. And I played through the entire campaign in one sitting because it's not very long. By the end of the first episode, my stomach was in a knot and I wanted to vomit. And that lasted. I was like, man, it'll be fine. When I go to bed, I'll sleep it off and I'll wake up today and be fine. I just got out of bed. I was nauseous all day. My head was pounding all day. I just got out of bed like an hour ago. and let the dudes over at VR Monkey know, like, something's not right. Like, your smooth turning is shit. The frame rate is not, it's definitely reprojected, and it's very, very stuttery. And they're aware, and they're trying to just before launch get it up to like 90 native or something to make it all better. But holy crap, dude, it was not a good time. Also, that game's terrible. Like, that's
so just, sorry, the fact you weren't feeling great was all because of the lack of comfort in the headset.
I would say that's probably a good chunk of it. I mean, you wake up with a pounding headache and you're nauseous, just as you, I mean, I know I was nauseous sick last night because of the game. I don't know if that's what carried over all day today. I'm assuming sure. It did, right? Because it's exactly how I felt when I went to bed last night. And it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And so I shouldn't have pushed through. That was my fault. But at the same time, like, you know, this game's supposed to be ready for release. Sirens on my end. Anyway, we'll keep you updated on the status of Twilight Zone. Also, just a heads up, the game's not very good. I know you've probably heard some not great things from the quest side of things when the game first came out. And I will tell you, there's a good reason. There's a good reason why you haven't heard great things. It's got some very cool original concepts, but overall, it's just bad. Like, it's not well delivered, and I just don't think it's very good, man. The entire second episode, I think, is just filler. It's throwaway. And there's like one cool thing that happens in the third episode. And the whole idea surrounding the first episode is very cool. And if anyone who played it on Quest, you know, it's focused a lot on voice commands. And, you know, it does some voice calibration stuff at the beginning of the game. And the way that all works together is very cool. But then it ultimately ends up in a game that was clearly designed by people who don't know how to make a good game, which is really sad. It's like a lot of great ideas, but just cannot fucking recommend, and definitely not in the state that it's in now. So we'll keep you posted on that as things progress.
Wow, that's a real shame. Real shame.
Yeah, but you know it's not a real shame, Miles. I might be sick, but I won't stop the segues. And that's that. This Sunday's multiplayer has been decided by you guys. Don't forget, every 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm sorry, every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, everybody gets together on our Discord. Click the link in the description below to go join that. And Professor Lilith puts together the multiplayer meetup. You guys vote on what games you want to play. The voting has been tallied. And this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, March 17th, everybody will be playing Alvo.
Nice.
Yep. Miles, other than Helldivers 2, you been playing anything fun?
I've been playing a few games this week.
You can talk about Helldivers if you want to. I don't care. This is going to be a pretty laid-back show.
Yeah, no. I've been playing quite a bit of VR experiences this week. One of my favorite things was because of, as I mentioned, I've been doing work for Rapid Eye Movers with C-Smash VRS, which means I've got a Quest 3. And it just came to my mind last weekend. Oh, I could buy Walkabout Mini Golf for the headset. I set up my own MetaQuest account, bought Walkabout Mini Golf, and normally, you know, when I'm showing my parents VR, I'll be sat on the couch watching the social screen enjoying it. But I was able to get them to stand in the kitchen with the Quest headset, and I got to play a round of Walkabout Mini Golf with my mum, with my dad, and then with my mum, and it was the most amazing time. I mean, there's nothing new about playing multiplayer in VR, but I think when you're showing a close family member who likes VR, but it's always quite a separate experience where you put them in the headset. And, you know, when you're trying to point stuff out on the social screen, you go, no, to your right, and stuff like that. And you're trying to get a sense of what they're looking at, to be present in the VR space and able to literally point and show stuff. It was really, really great. And they both really loved it. But played around with each of them, so 18 holes with each of them, and then before I got to the end of a round of golf with my dad, he was telling me the battery was low. And I was like, really, already? And you know, there are things you can do to make the battery life on the Quest 3 last longer, but if you want, you know, the top refresh rate and, you know, the full brightness, it's a shame, but at the same time, it's a great headset. And what I do like about the Quest 3 is the reason I was on the PSVR 2 and I put them on the Quest 3 was they literally put the headset on and they're ready to go. They don't have to worry about finding the sweet spot with the PSVR 2 headset, which takes a little bit more, tweaking. Played a bit of Walkabout Mini Golf. I actually played a lot more of the Daft Punk Beat Saber DLC this week. I did today, as a part of my workout routine, I did the Expert Plus of the 11-minute song. And my goodness, I mean, I had no fail on because I would have failed halfway through. Some of the rudiments are ridiculous, but it was a really, really good workout. And I love what they've done with that. And it is actually the first DLC where they've incorporated live music, which I hadn't really thought about before, which was cool to see. And then just diving into Nock here and there, and there's a few other games which can't talk about at the moment. There's a lot of great games, and also because I'm not at home yet and I'm not going to be fully living at home for a good couple of weeks, I'm just craving to get back to live streaming VR games. There's a lot of VR games I've put on hold just because obviously I want my first impressions to be live. Obviously I'll play them if we're going to be talking about them specifically on the show. But there's just so many games. I think there's like 8 to 10 now that I just want to get on board with and play. So I miss doing that. One game I almost was going to do early. People have seen that Madison VR had been handed out to some creators who got to play a bit early. To the dismay of Brian and the others, I turned down the offer just because I said if I was to play Madison, I want my first. I'm only going to play it once because I'm so terrified, and I want that to be live. Whereas this would be playing on my own, recording it, which would have been great.
Right.
But also, it is like sort of a demo. It's a demo. It's like it can take half an hour to complete. Some of the people I've spoken to who played the demo said actually it took them about an hour to an hour and a half, but they obviously edited it down to about half an hour. A lot of it to do with like learning how to interact with the environments and stuff, because in some of them I've seen, like when it comes to like peering through holes and stuff, you have to like pull the trigger over the sort of the magnifying glass icon. So there's a few bits in the game that seem like halfway, they're not fully, VR immersive. However, looks amazing in the headset and is like super, super terrifying, which is what we expect. So I'm super, super stoked for Madison VR. I think it's going to be a very, very special release.
That's great, man. That's great. Yeah, definitely a lot of a lot of great stuff coming our way. I did see a comment from Waleed, one of our loyal game cats, who was actually making a suggestion about Gamescast and being like, hey, when maybe you should start the show, start Gamescast with the topic that's plastered across, the title of the video in the thumbnail, because by the time you get to your major topic, you're out of steam and like you only spend a couple minutes on it. And that was in relation to Madison, because Wednesday's show was all, PSVR2 horror is back, and we're like, bam, bam, bam. We listed off like four different horror games that now have release dates and coming soon and can't wait to play. And he said he tuned in for Madison, and I felt bad because like if I had access, to the dev kits, playing this early release of Madison, we definitely would have spent a lot of time on it. But me personally, I don't know any more information than I did a couple weeks ago, other than, oh yeah, it's on track and it sounds like it's going to be good, but I'm not spoiling it for myself by watching other people's streams or reading reviews.
Yeah.
I did actually tell myself I was going to read through, the God is a Geek, review, because it's one of the
there's a few written articles that have been done, which is probably a good way of doing it, right? Because there's impressions without actually explicitly seeing what's going on.
Yeah, because I don't want to watch any video, and so I started reading through the God is a Geek one, and as well written as it was, they started off by saying I've never played a horror game in VR, and immediately I was like, well then your opinion, no offense to them over there, your opinion does not help me whatsoever, because I need to hear an opinion from somebody who plays a lot of VR horror and says, well, where does this rank within that? And it's something I try to be cognizant of, when I reviewed Little Cities this week, I was like, I better go play some Cities VR, because otherwise people would be like, well, what the fuck is the difference between this and that? You gotta try to have some kind of context. And sometimes I can do that, and sometimes I can't do that. And I'm not believing that God is a Geek guy whatsoever at all. Because you probably go over there for that person's opinion. right? And so it's like, cool.
Yeah.
That works. And so anyway, so that's the only article I started reading through and then just stopped because I was like, well, this isn't going to really help me. But I am very intrigued because, again, when we hear things like it's going to be like, you know, running at 90 native, I'm like, this just makes me happy, man. This just makes me happy because it means that people are kind of coming to terms and figuring out what works on PSVR 2, what PSVR 2 gamers are looking for, especially until the reprojection system is fixed. It means that these developers are coming into their own and figuring this shit out and saying and actually having specific targets for PSVR 2 that they don't have in other places. You know, I hear from so many developers saying, hey, we're using dynamic foveated rendering, you know, for eye tracking and then, you know, and with this in the center focal spot is 1.8 times super sampled. And I'm like, that's really fucking sharp. That's really sharp, but also unnecessary, right? So, like, if you can scale that down and use the extra resources to, you know, to push it to 90 frames per second, then wonderful. And I think that's what developers are starting to realize, like what we're looking for, what really sells, what PSVR 2 gamers get excited about. And so, I think we're entering like this new era. You know, even when I told, you know, VR Monkey about the Twilight Zone issues, he was like, let me. I think we can probably fix that, you know, like, because those guys are really, really on top of their shit. So, dude, let's talk about a couple tips real quick here. We got Not Sure Bronzo with the $10 tip says, too bad you have to suffer for us. Love all of you. That's what I'm here for, man. That's what I'm here for. I do apologize though, because it does mean that, like, you know, my whole schedule is thrown off this week. I feel terrible for because Cube comes out tomorrow. I've had Cube for a week. I've not had time to play Cube for more than an hour. And so I feel bad. That review is not going to be out tomorrow. Not if I want it to be a proper review. So I feel terrible about that. But thank you guys for, you know, your constant understanding. You're always, you know, people are always trying to make me feel better about the situations. And, you know, I always feel like I'm letting you guys down, and you guys are always telling me that I'm not. So thank you very much for allowing me to do this and, you know, do it in the style that I need to. Come on, buddy. Come on. Get up here. Get up here. She's like just skulking around meowing. Time to play. Oh, dude. Also, Miles, before I forget, that microphone that you're holding to your mouth right now, This is the one you use during your live streams, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I love this mic.
So
I purchased it based on the sound of your live streams. I was like, this sounds really good. You sent me the link, the Amazon link, and I bought it right away without even looking into it. Just, I need this. I finally set it up. Dude, playing Twilight Zone and you know, getting that getting the Patreon stream set up, I was like, well, this Twilight Zone will be the test to see if this microphone is what I'm looking for. And holy shit, dude, it sounds so much better than the one I was using before. That's all staticky and distorted. Sounds very quality. Yeah. You know, you always sound good, but, you know, everybody has different voices. And so sometimes things just don't sound as good
and
for one person
acoustics,
as they do for
there's
other.
A lot of factors that make for good sound. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm with you. It's one of those things of it's only when I go back to other microphones, I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, that's a lot better. No, so it's a really cool microphone. And, the only issue I have with it, and maybe it's because of the positioning, is it means I can't wear collars. Because if I wear any collars, because when you're doing VR, you're turning your head around. When you're playing other games, you're keeping your head straight so you don't have to worry. But like if you're turning around and moving your arms, it keeps hitting the collar and ruffling and stuff. And so getting the positioning right can be quite difficult. But it's called the Mod Mic Anti-Lion.
I bought it through the box away immediately.
To be honest, I need to start doing that thing in the description of my videos of, you know, what gear do I use, because it's definitely a common question.
And on that topic, I do want to give a shout out to AJ and apologize because on Wednesday's show, you know, we talk about the stuff that we like, we talk about the stuff that we use. Sometimes you have to go through a couple different things to figure out what you like, and it sounds like I was being very mean when I was talking about the Real Optics lenses versus the VR Rocks. And I apologize. You guys know that it's never my intention to insult my co-hosts or to talk shit about anybody. Not in any way over, you know, the sense of just having fun and, you know, it's all supposed to be in jest. It's all supposed to be a good time. And I did get a message saying, "Hey, you were really fucking tough on AJ on Wednesday's show." And I was like, what did I do? What I don't even realize. Like, and so, you know, sometimes people are in on the inside jokes, and sometimes, you know, I'm not a fucking comedian, man. Like, I'll make jokes and they don't come across right. So I do want to apologize. I want everybody to know that, like, I totally respect my co-host, and that, if AJ loves the VR Rock lenses, then great. That wasn't my intention to make it seem like they were bad. I just love the real optics ones. You know, I know there's people out there that like the VR Rocks as well. So I just wanted to get that out there and make sure that we're all on the same page. Time to play VR with the 2 quid says, "I'm missing Teen Titan Robin. The blinds are not fun."
Don't ask me. I have no idea.
I mean, back when I had the bookshelves behind me, that's what you must be talking about. I've got a bunch of Batman and Robin stuff around here, and so there was a Teen Titan Robin plushie up there. The blinds suck. I hate the blinds. They look dirty, and probably because they are. But yeah, with the time changed, the light just blares in, and then I'm totally silhouetted. I wish I had the bookshelves back. But I feel you, time to play. ET.2K9.now with the $50 tip. Dude, keeping the lights on. Thank you very much. Says, "Wish I could go to the meetup. Here's some pizza money for the cats at the live show." Excellent. Well, pizza, Miles, is on ET.2K9.now. So we'll go out for some pizza, and I will pay for it.
Hell yeah.
Thank you very much for your generosity. Fifth with the Australian $2 tip says, "Paint the Town Red super hot mode is so much fun." This is something I didn't even know about. I haven't had time to really play Paint the Town Red except for, like, you know, an hour before Wednesday's show. And it was a lot of fun, but I only played the roguelite mode. I didn't even know there was a super hot mode, right? Which is why there's no Brian Bite or review yet. Did you play any Paint the Town Red?
Not yet. No.
It's all good. Not... Yeah, I need to change the trailer, man. It's driving me up the wall. Here we go. This one we can let run for a little while. I don't have to worry about it now.
And kind of the thing you were talking about how understanding the community is, I get this the sort of imposter syndrome at the moment as well, which is I was going into this year on such a high, like such good momentum with live streams and everything, and just like this year has just been, I feel like I'm in quicksand and wading through, and I'm just treading water and stuff. And everyone has been so understanding and like, yeah, when things are back up and running, good to go, it's fine. But I do just want to get back on with things. So I am very much looking forward to getting back to live streaming. So hopefully once I'm back from PAX East, it will be up and running again. And hopefully I remember how to live stream Let's Plays.
Yeah,
it was like, oh, how do I do this again?
I feel you, man. I feel like we you know, we go into these things with the absolute best intentions. We're like, oh man, I'm gonna, like, you know, make sure there's live streams and there's this and the Brian Bites and reviews and everything, and it's just, you know, then shit hits the fan, life hits the fan. You know, we're both dealing with our fair share of depression these days too, so we love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. I can feel the tone of this show is completely different than normally, but I think you guys are here for it all, so we appreciate you. Professor Lilith with the $5 tip says, "Hi, Game Cats." Hey, Lilith. "Join us for playing Alvo in this week's Sunday multiplayer, 2 p.m., March 17th, St. Patrick's Day cartoony shooting." Oh, is it St. Patty's Day? I never know that. One of those holidays that sneaks up on me that I try to drive through a parade. It's like, oh, shit. Thank you, Professor Lilith, as always, for all your hard work. Thundercat with the 5 quid says, "Dude, just be you, mate. Don't worry. You're good. And we'll all love you, crazy cats. Miles PAX will recharge you all, I'm sure."
Yeah, and I'm funny enough, like, if I was to be honest right now,
don't be.
I'm not I'm not looking forward to going out there, just because I feel just such a downer at the moment. But I know as soon as I get out there and I see everyone and like I'm on the plane and it's like a completely different shift, I'm gonna be having like the best time. It's gonna be good to see people. It's gonna be a chance to meet people I've not met before in the industry, perhaps, and just to sort of chill and switch off. Because yeah, literally the last 2 months has been me stuck at my laptop, job hunting, you know, doing all the sorts of stuff. So it's gonna be nice having that sort of gear change as well. So yeah. I really appreciate that.
I'm in the, dude, I feel the exact same way. I'm glad you said it. Cause like, you know, it's not something you want to admit. You don't want to be like, oh, I don't want to do this, or I don't, you know, I don't want to go. And you know, I'm not in that mindset yet. Mostly because think about all the things that I have to do, you know, and how much time I spent in bed today. I was like, how do I change gears and just suddenly like for 4 days straight, be like in a completely different mode. So it'll be interesting for sure. But it might be exactly what I need.
Yeah. And also, this isn't just about being a creator. This also is for sort of game cats and people as consumers of content as well, and consumers of games. And I sort of touched upon it a couple of episodes ago where I said I sat down to play Final Fantasy Rebirth. I played 20 minutes and I was like, I don't want to do this right now, which was a real shame because I was super hyped for it. And it's just the fact that we live in an age now where everything is nonstop. There's always new games coming out. In terms of making shows with broadcast television, you do stuff in seasons and there'd be breaks, you know, whereas with YouTube, it's just every day, it's constant.
Yeah.
And so whether you're creating content or consuming it, it's just a fire hydrant of just, you know, more. And there is always more that you can do. And so it's always good to check in with yourselves and, you know, it's fine. Like, if you're not feeling it when it comes to gaming and stuff, it's fine to come back to it, because as we've spoken before, it's always about, you know, you do these things because you enjoy it. And so you should always give yourself the time to make sure you make the most of those opportunities.
Miles, I don't know how we didn't talk about this on Wednesday's show, but I'm so glad we saved it for today because I needed something to lift me up, boost me out of this funk that I'm in. And that's Galaxy Kart Corner with update 1.15.
More Galaxy Kart,
dude. Right? I keep thinking, like, you know, I keep thinking that the last update we get is the last update that we're going to get, right? Because they put so much work into this thing and they keep pumping out the updates. But update 1.16 is now out. I believe it came out yesterday. Three new maps. Big Top, Valhalla Valley, and Pirate's Treasure. And don't forget, you guys, like, I've heard from some people say, hey, I went into Galaxy Kart. How do you unlock the new maps? They're divided up into worlds now. And so as you're flipping through, it looks like you're just flipping through like five different tracks. But it's you're flipping through five different worlds with multiple tracks in each world. So I know it can be confusing the first time, or if you're going back to it after a while being like, I'm confused. Where is everything? That's how it works. I mean, they just keep pumping out these maps. Major complaint that I had at launch, if you look at my review, it's like a 3.5. Dude, this is the type of game that I would give an 8 out of 10 to, because it's so much fun and you can totally look past a little bit of jank especially because it's our only kart racer. But they also gave us new game modes, a new game mode called Galaxy Tournament. The description is play for points through three consecutive tracks to win. I love this, man. People are talking about, they've started up a Game Cat Racing League, for Gran Turismo. I want this to be included. Let's make sure that we do regular tournaments of Galaxy Kart now that it's got a tournament mode. It's got six different Galaxy tournaments: Condor, Andromeda, Cygnus, Centauro, Sombrero, which fits right in, and Redshift. And then a couple of UI improvements as well. It says better UI for during the end of the race. I guess after you finish the race and you're waiting for everyone else.
Correct. That must be that. Yeah.
And then brand new UI for tournament mode. And then a bunch of bug fixes, including reworked voice chat in multiplayer for better stability. The multiplayer definitely had some weirdness to it. You'd spawn inside of each other on the track. Certain people would just like not appear. And then the voice chat, you just wouldn't hear some people talking. And so it sounds like they've been really paying attention to all the complaints, and Galaxy Kart should be much, much better now. I can't wait to check
it
out.
I'm guessing the Galaxy Tournament, yeah, there you go, play for points, three consecutive tracks to win. I mean, this is something I've wanted for a long time. And funnily enough, it's something I really want Gran Turismo 7 to have for their multiplayer. But these guys just keep adding, keep building on it, and I think it's just amazing. So this is fantastic.
We jump in, we just laugh constantly, you know, and it's just so much fun. I enjoyed it when it was just had Sense controller support, but now it's got the wheel and Sense support. I'm hearing from people who have the Thrustmaster that the resistance isn't great. It feels like it's a little has a little resistance, but not much. The generic feedback on the G29, I think that was great, right? Because it just feels like kart racing, like real life kart racing. So, yeah, good stuff. I'm going to be re-reviewing this one probably in April when I have a little bit of time, and but you can expect a really good score because, man, they have just improved everything from making it run at 90 native instead of 120 reprojected to all of the, you know, all of the additions they've made. Tournament mode sounds great. There was just a serious lack of tracks at launch. It seems so much better now. So I cannot wait to get into this and just play the crap out of it for review. Have an excuse to play this for like 6 hours straight, you know?
Awesome. Yeah.
Doncat94 with the two chieftain says, behind which of Miles' three doors are you today, Brian? Which one's a closet? I generally am in a closet at all times. It's a gay joke, Miles. Can you please let me out of the closet?
But which one, Brian?
Are they all closets? Do you not have an exit to this room?
Oh, no, I'm here. This is me. This is my...
They built the house around you.
That's how I get out that door.
Dude, there's so many doors. I've never seen a room with so many doors.
And then there's four more here.
Right, and on the wall that's here...
Yes, and then there's one here.
Right.
And then there's a hatch here. Yep. And a hatch here. Yeah, and if I flip the bed up...
There are 17 ways in and out of the room. But they're all just closets.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it. It is funny. Somebody commented in the chat saying, you guys look like you're in the same room because of all the white behind us. And it is funny. Right. Like we're getting closer by the second. I thought the same thing when I was setting up the formatting for the show. Ryan McCatfrey in the chat.
That is the best username.
It is.
Amazing.
It says, without lows, there cannot be highs.
Yeah. That is true.
That's why there's so many evil people in the world, Miles. And so that we can be so good.
That's exactly why we have evil people. Yep.
It's going to be balanced.
Yep.
Please tell me there's more stuff on the Run of Show. There is more stuff on the Run of Show. let's go over to Insider Gaming. I think I give you the website so we can...
Yes,
both look at it together. Wonderful.
This is the story that just keeps on building. I mean, it's been speculated for a while, but definitely, we're definitely getting somewhere now.
Hell yeah. So the name of the article, and it's from Tom Henderson. There are very few leakers out there, very few people that are actual insiders. There's a lot of people looking for clout. Tom Henderson does not seem to be one of those guys. He seems to, anytime he says something, it's generally true. I love that this article was written by him. It says PS5 Pro specs leak are real, releasing holiday 2024. Just look through this real quick. Insider Gaming can confirm that the leaked PS5 Pro specs that leaked earlier today are real and still scheduled 2024 holiday. Speaking with the source, who wished to remain anonymous because they're not authorized to talk about the company's plans, we can confirm that the leaked documentation from the YouTube channel Moore's Law is Dead is real, despite the criticism of the leaker and the leaked specs. That is something that I saw a lot of people were like, oh, I don't trust Moore's Law. Like, he's never been right. But then Tom Henderson going to bat for it and saying, oh, no, this is accurate. That changes everything. The leaked documents confirm. Hold on a second. There's more stuff. In early 2023, I reported to Key to Gaming that the PS5 Pro is under the codename Trinity and will be targeting improved and consistent frames per second at 4K resolution, a new performance mode for 8K resolution, and accelerated ray tracing. Damn. In addition, it was reported that Trinity will have 30 WGP and 1800 MTS.
Just give me lots of numbers and memory. Letters and yeah. Yep. Wow, I'm blown away.
I am so fucking blown away by numbers and letters. You guys know this. I'll talk about games all day. I am not your hardware guy. I'm not gonna be able to tell you jack shit about how the PS5 compares to the PS5 Pro. But let's just run through this real quick. Today's leaked documents also confirmed rendering 45% faster than PS5. 2 to 3 times ray tracing, times 4 in some cases. 33.5 teraflops. PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution Upscaling, which is upscaling anti-aliasing solution. Support for resolutions.
That's
exciting. It is. Everything's exciting. Just, I just joked about it, but I do get excited about letters and numbers. Like, you know, it's like, oh, it says 45% faster than PS5. That's something I can, you know, digest. Let's see, support for
resolution. The anti-aliasing solution and upscaling is a big deal. Like, I think it's great. And then going on to the next thing about the 8K. When the PS5 came out, it was saying that it supports 8K, which it technically does. But everyone was like, oh, wow, is this the age of 8K gaming? It's like, it's not. It really isn't. And so it's interesting to see this. But a lot of incorporations, as we're seeing with AI and machine learning architecture. Just like the PS4 Pro was great for PSVR, the PS5 Pro is going to be excellent for PSVR too. I do think VR... PlayStation VR gamers are going to be the greatest beneficiaries of these pro models.
I think so too, right? Because again, 8K is, we've definitely heard people claiming, you know, when you start talking about like 8K televisions, like the it's not this massive upgrade from the 4K as a lot of people think that, you know, 720 was 1080p and then 1080 to 4K. It's not this massive upgrade from 4K to 8K only because our eyes can only perceive so much. And so unless you have like a, you know, 20-foot television, you may not see a huge difference. But the fact is that, you know, if things are going to be able to run in 8K, it just kind of gives you an idea of the power of this thing to be able to run it on. Dude, I'm still using a 1080p television for some of my stuff. I'm using, you know, a pretty cheap 4K TV for other stuff. So I could potentially die without ever owning an 8K TV. Anyway, the point is of all of this, shit seems real. And as you mentioned, you know, the PSVR2 should benefit a lot from this, which Piotrek F seems to agree with in the chat with the 10 plantain, says, looks like the Pro could do 90 native without reprojection. And I think that would be a dream come true, Miles. I don't mean that like, cause you know, so many games can already run in 90 native on PSVR2, but it would be amazing to see like Village, amazing to see Resident Evil 4 remake, amazing to see Gran Turismo. And it would be awesome. And I can't wait to find out if you think this is something that they would do or not. It would be awesome to see Sony's commitment to PSVR2 and the Pro by making sure all of those games are ready for the Pro launch and are able to run at one or either 120 native or 90 native, and get rid of reprojection altogether on some of their marquee PSVR2 titles. Do you think that's the kind of commitment they have to PS5 Pro and PSVR2?
I think so, but also in the context of what they're looking at, because it's this year they're looking at the PC compatibility. And so I think that will be a big consideration for them as well. If we're getting access to PC VR libraries, they are going to want to look at all the opportunities to saying, you know, PSVR2 is the way to experience these things. If it is going to be the fact that we can access PC VR games on the PlayStation 5 or PlayStation 5 Pro. I mean, I don't know what it would mean for developers to, you know, have to do an update for the PS5 Pro. But we just live in a really weird time, I think. I think it's been a very strange generation of console anyway, because every year it's just been new hardware, whether it's the PlayStation Portal. Now we've got the PlayStation 5 Pro being talked about. We've just had the PlayStation 5 Second Edition, you know, sort of the variation. And maybe it is kind of what always happens every generation. It's just, I think we're much more in touch with it. And also it's felt like a much slower launch because of the pandemic, because of all the issues we've seen with the gaming industry. It kind of feels like we haven't even got started with the PS5 generation in many ways, but also we are moving into the latter stage of its life cycle. So
I like hearing that from somebody like you, Miles, because, you know, for somebody like me who, when I'm not in VR, I'm probably not playing Sirens of Mine. I'm probably not playing God of War Ragnarok. I'm probably not playing the New Horizon game. I'm probably not playing Ghost of Tsushima. Right? Like, you guys know this. I'm bored of my AAA games. Like, I'm bored of what's been happening in the AAA flat screen space, and that happened for a long time. Right? And so that's why when I'm not in VR, like, I tend to go retro. I got my Polymega last month after 2.5 years of waiting, and like, it's my favorite thing ever. When I'm not playing VR games, I'm playing retro stuff. It's good to hear from people like you who are still playing big AAA games. You're excited for, you know, you were excited for the Final Fantasy game. You're playing Helldivers 2. And it's good to hear that you feel the same way that I do about this generation, that it seems like it's really just getting started, just like right now. You know, first party games were trickling out for the first couple years. And now it's time to find out what all these studios have been up to. And what PSVR 2 is really capable of.
Yeah.
I put a poll up, by the way, for anyone who has not been paying attention. I am very, very curious to see the results of this poll. I said, would you buy a PlayStation 5 Pro for PSVR 2 enhancements? My guess...
I think this also gets to something else which we've spoken about in the past, which is for PSVR 2 to be successful for Sony, it doesn't require mass adoption, because people that buy the PSVR 2 are putting a lot of money down, and they're people that are going to be buying a lot of different VR experiences. And I can imagine the portion of PS5 owners that are most likely to get a PS5 Pro are going to be the PSVR 2 owners. I think that it's just people that own a PSVR 2 are those that, you know, this might be a bit too judgmental, but have the disposable income or are willing to spend huge sums of disposable income on that kind of hardware. We talked about it before with Gran Turismo 7 and, like, you know, racing rigs, if they have the space for it. I think that's going to be the case with the PS5 Pro. So, I'm going to be getting it as soon as I can, because I remember what it was like. I say I remember what it was like when I got it for PSVR, but now I'm like, actually, I don't know if I can remember. I'm pretty sure I was... What was the first game that came out, had an update for PSVR, PS4 Pro, that we saw a massive improvement on? Or was it not?
I don't know when the updates came out. I don't know which of them required updates. So I'm a little bit hazy on the whole thing. I can tell you that the first two games I noticed massive improvements on was Resident Evil 7, because it got rid of the foveated rendering. Because you always had to stare at the middle of the lenses, right? Because everything else was pixelated. But then it just got rid of that, and like, everything was rendered fairly well. And so that was a massive improvement. And I remember Farpoint, the resolution definitely skyrocketed, and which made everything pop even more. You know, those giant spiders on the first stage. I just remember being like, holy crap, like, everything is way sharper than it used to, which means it's all way more terrifying than it used to be. Those were the two games I remember really taking advantage of it right out of the gate. But it's been a while. No idea.
And as Mad Vegan rightly said in the chat, and this is where I do remember it, was the load times. The load times was where we saw the massive improvement for PSVR.
Oh, was it really? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Iron Man would be an example. It wasn't as quick as we wanted it to be, but we do remember that it did significantly help out. So
I remember doing a comparison when PS5 came out and comparing it to the Pro, and using Iron Man as one of the many games I compared with load times and resolution and all that, and seeing like which games really took advantage of the hardware. And even on PlayStation 5, Iron Man was just a slog for load times. It was terrible. Hey, let's tackle a couple more tips. I don't want to get too far behind here. Fox Die Infected with the €2 says Friday. Hi, guys. I love that he wrote Friday with an I and then hi with a Y. Because I was like, oh, man, missed opportunity. Missed opportunity, Fox Die Infected. But then he pulled it together with two Ys and hi, guys. Not bad, man. We also got Rondomar, the Spanish pirate game cat of the game gato, with the 10 quid. I'm confused. It's going to be like, why isn't it in like pesos or something? Which is fucking dumb, right? Everyone who's Spanish obviously lives in Mexico. That's how that sounds when I say it out loud. I was like, wait a minute. I didn't know you had Spanish people living in the UK, Miles. Oh God, this is why I just shouldn't do a show sometimes. We definitely should have canceled today. I'm going to be so surprised when I show up in the UK and be like, oh wow, you guys have more than just British people here. It's crazy.
Yeah, we don't all wear top hats.
Right.
With monocles. Good day to you, sir. Do you know what a penny farthing is? Do you know what a penny farthing is? Did you have them in America?
It's like sometimes you just speak a different language, Miles.
It was it's the bicycle, but the front wheel is absolutely gigantic.
Yeah.
And then it has a tiny back wheel. Yeah.
Right. I mean, what was that? The 20s? Like, I don't even know like when that was a thing.
I mean,
You still 20s. Use that.
I mean, I do. I commute, yeah.
Primary means of transportation.
Yeah.
And in all fairness, you guys, Miles is the reason I don't have any proper understanding of the UK, because he said he feeds me shit like this all the time. Just last week, he was like, we don't have any Spanish people here. And I was like, oh, well, that's why this tip surprised me. Rondomar, so sorry for being a fucking moron. I apologize to you. He says, great show as always, guys. Hope everyone has a great time at PAX. Can you give a happy birthday shout out to my fiance? Have a great birthday, Sarah. Have a great birthday. And also, you're engaged to Rondomar. Life must be fucking good for Sarah, right? Rondomar's the dude.
What a great birthday present.
Yep. Shout out to Sarah.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Is this what it's like being on Cameo, Miles? Like, people are like, here's some dollars. Can you please say this?
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably what it's like. I wouldn't know.
I'm going to get on Cameo and see. For the extra $3 a month, no one's going to want me to say anything on Cameo. That's for sure. Senador the Game Tiger with the $5 tip says, have fun at PAX. We will have fun at PAX. We will make sure of it. Macho, the real estate procrastinating game cap, the $2 says, PS5 Pro and PSVR 2 getting PC support are connected. Okay.
I do think there is something at play there with the parity in terms of, you know, if it's going to cut, if PSVR 2 is going to be linking up with PC, they just want to make sure that they are constantly delivering. Because actually, I haven't fully made this thought yet, but I'm just going to start saying it, and it might be the most idiotic thing ever.
Oh, good. Spoken. Well, you need to be on the same page as me, so please start talking before you think.
So when PSVR came out, it was like quite outdated for the machine it was released for, whereas I kind of feel that PSVR 2 is ahead of the machine it was released for. Would we agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel really good about it, man. Like, you know, we talked about how kind of future-proof PSVR 2 is to some degree. And I think this is part of it. I absolutely think this is part of it. So,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. I just ended the poll. Will you buy a PS5 Pro for PSVR 2 enhancements? 80% of you said yes. 19% of you said no. And 1% of you are missing. We should really form a search party for the 1%, because where the fuck did the other 1% of the voters go? This is crazy. 80
point something. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, this is the PSVR 2 community right here, man. This is, you guys are the hardest core of the hardcore PSVR 2 users, and 80% of you want it to be the best possible experience ever. I mean, and of course, 19% of you probably do as well, except, you know, things get in the way, financial concerns, etc. So very cool. Fitz with the Australian $5 in the chat is boosting something Dan said in the chat. He said, Brian, Cerebral in the chat says making games for split console PS5 Pro is annoying. Feel sorry for devs making two versions of one game. Well, at least they're not making games for PCs. PCs are, instead of set specs, you know, at least the PS5 is one set of specs, and PS Pro, and also, I guess Skydance is in a little bit of a different situation because no one's buying PSVR 1 games anymore. And if you are, I apologize. There's very few of you left. And so you can't justify any kind of business sense to develop PSVR 1 games anymore, right? Unless it's like some quick and dirty port. So what happens though is what seems to be happening is that we're moving on, right? So no, when you stop making PS4 games and you're making PS5 games, right? Because you're making PS4 games and PS4 Pro games, so you have to develop for two different set of specs, and then that moves on, boom. You know, now are you making it for PS5 and PS5 Pro? That's two separate set of specs, right? Instead of doing it for PS4 and PS5, when PS4 and PS5 would have been four. Well, I guess three set of specs up until this point, because you have to make it for PS4, PS4 Pro, and then PS5. And so it's still got to be easier than developing for PC with a wide range of specs and hoping that it works on everybody's setup. But I do understand console gaming is supposed to be easier than this. I don't know. Did he follow it up? He followed it up and said, PC is actually easier. You just ignore the problem. If the PC user's hardware, whoops, things scrolled. If the PC user's hardware can't run the game, you give them a, I like it. At least you don't have to fucking, if you don't have to deal with Sony, I guess things are a lot easier, right? So passing Sony's certification in QA changes everything. EE Transmit with the 2.5 quid says, friends, how do you share super chat revenue? We don't. I barely make enough money to survive. And so the hope is, of course, that, you know, Miles gets introduced to more people every week, that AJ gets introduced to more people, and Wesson gets introduced to more people every week. The money that comes in pays the bills. It is, YouTube takes their cut. I get completely raped with taxes at the end of the year. I made more money waiting tables, if you guys weren't aware. I used to work 3-4 days a week and make way more money than I do on YouTube. So it's not a profitable job. I don't think it's going to be super profitable until we get into, like, I don't know, it has to be like three times the number of viewership, three times the number of subscribers, three times the viewership. It's just, yeah. I mean, I guess I should probably start taking some of these sponsorships and getting some extra revenue, because shit, money's been really tight for years now. So that's how we do it.
You can do, yeah, and there's, you know, is, and sponsorship isn't a blanket statement. There are the right sponsorships for the channel and not. And just from my end on stuff, this is something I've always been clear about, is the reason I get involved with Gamescast Live is because I love to, and I like to support the channel. I don't do this. I don't ever intend of doing this for money, and I do get a lot of support from the GameCat community on my own channel, which I'm really, really grateful for. But I'm here because I this channel has done a lot for me. I want it to succeed. So, yeah.
Thank you. And I really hope that at any point, you know, AJ's, Miles, or Wes feels as though, like, you know, that they're not benefiting from the channel anymore, that it's time consuming. You know, I do my best to make sure that they just have to show up for the time that they're here and don't have to do any work ahead of time. You know, I put together the run of show and make sure that I'm running the show while it's happening. So hope, if you ever feel that, if any of these guys ever feel like it's not worth their, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours a week to participate in the show, then I really hope that they will be honest with me and say, hey, you know, I got to go focus on my own channel for that time. And I would never, ever blame them for that, right? Because I'm thrilled that you guys donate your time and you're part of my channel. I appreciate it. One day we're all one big fucking conglomerate and we're like, hey, under the Without Parole brands, like, we're all getting paid and shit.
It'd on the great. Side of a building.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Is that? We're almost there. We're getting there. We got a couple new release dates here. We're going to start with Big Shots, which is coming next month. Miles, is Big Shot's a game you're familiar with?
It is not, Brian, so I do... Actually, no, maybe I do know. Go on, tell me about it.
All right, well, I'm going to bring up the trailer first, because this is the... I don't even know if this is the correct trailer or not. There's a new one.
Is it a roguelite?
Let me, I'm going to bring it up on Steam because, as we know, Steam's got the.
This is the mech game, isn't it?
It is a mech game for sure. Here, give me a second here. Big Shots. There it is. Nice and easy to find on the Steam store. And let's, while we're at it, let's bring it up so you guys can also witness it. Full screen and. All right, that's looking good. Now we can bring up the Steam page for you guys to see. Cool. So let's see what we got here. My Dearest became the publisher of this game only recently, it seems. Prior to that, I mean, just being developed by Alterized, not a studio I'm familiar with. But it says, gear up, team up, and exterminate. Become the ultimate mech pilot in Big Shots. The action-packed VR roguelite, you nailed it, where you'll battle alien hordes, earn upgrades, and forge an unstoppable mech to reclaim Earth. Which I don't even know what the right trailer is. I think I'm playing the old trailer. But this just got a release date for next month, Miles, April 18th. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. We don't really have any great mech games. We haven't had any for a while. And it does look like it's, you know, fast paced and enough action. And dude, if they get this thing up and running well on the PSVR 2, I think that this kind of cell shaded like style can really, really pop in VR. So we might be in for something special here. Is it something that interests you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know some people are dealing with roguelike fatigue. I love the mechanic. Roguelikes can feel very different, you know, depending on what the game mechanics are themselves. It's just a way of prolonging things, you know. So I'm all for this. I do like the art style. And I think if it feels good, I mean, the reviews of it when it was on Quest were decent. The website says, one of these creators, Gamer Muscle, says fantastic player movement, super comfortable, really immersive cockpit. I mean, those are three things that you would hope you'd get from a game like this, because for me, I just think of, is it Riggs?
Yeah.
That came, and I remember feeling quite queasy playing that game for a bit on PSVR.
My issue with Riggs was that I just didn't like the sport they had created. And so if it was just more like, hey, you know, team death matches, that kind of stuff, I probably would have been on board with Riggs if it was something a little bit more simple or something I could wrap my head around a little bit better. I do want to point out that over on the Steam page, they have some more information. It's a solo or cross-platform co-op, and that does include, so we're talking about a PC, Quest, and PlayStation VR. It says exterminations can be done solo or side-by-side with a fellow Big Shot when teamed up. Working together is key to holding off alien scum and getting the job done. Cross-platform play is supported, so none of your friends will be left out. It says build your ultimate mech. Evolve your humble mech with upgrades during runs. Become the ultimate alien exterminator in a crazy roguelite adventure. Explore the possibilities and combinations from the upgrades presented to you, or change your loadout with the permanent upgrades that you can acquire in the shop back at the hangar. Talks about mobility, and that's about it. I think, you know, if you got roguelite fatigue, totally understandable. I was talking about how much fun I had with Painted Town Red's roguelite mode. But at the same time, I was like, you know, it's not doing enough to change people's minds to say, hey, if you're tired of the genre, this isn't going to be the one that changes your mind. I do think the inclusion of multiplayer is enough to change some people's minds and say, hey, you know, agreed. I want to get in there and play with my friends. Oh, okay. It's still a roguelite, but I get to play with my friends, and it's, you know, and it's high action mech combat. I think this could be a game that would change people's minds a little bit.
I'm super hyped for this.
DJ Disco Beaver says the R in PSVR stands for roguelite. I like it. S stands for scary, because, you know, it's too much horror in VR. Oh man, that's the whining I never get sick of. So Big Shots is coming next month, which is pretty cool. April is already starting to get its own it's already starting to get its own peppering of PSVR 2 releases. But that's not all. AJ, no, you're not AJ. Do you have a beanie?
Miles.
It would be easier for me to just pretend that you're AJ than remember.
Funnily enough, when I used to do, when for the first like 5 years I was a YouTuber, I had a black beanie I always wore. And I obviously don't have it here, but I have to dig it out sometime.
God, you look so different, dude. Yeah, those original YouTube videos that you did from like a decade ago, you look like a completely different person. Dude, I guess we all look like a completely different person. Ago. Is it two?
Almost two decades. It's like 17, 18 years ago now.
Wait, so... first YouTube video. Holy shit. Like half your life ago.
It's crazy. Like almost half my life has been doing YouTube content. It's crazy.
Amazing. Amazing. Hold on. What do we got here? Let's tackle some tips. Because you guys keep the engine running here. Awesome Tatum with the $5 tip says, gargantuan hug. Is that a Swords of Gargantuan hug? Anybody want to hook up their PSVR ones? Put them. Thank you, Tatum. Old Darth with Canadian $5 tip says, Brian, cheap travel trip. Take some siren recordings to PAX in case you get homesick and use them for alert. Use them as an alert for GameCats Assemble. I like it.
I think we'll get in trouble just having sirens in PAX East. Yeah.
That's probably an issue, yeah.
That's amazing, though.
When I went to Beyond 300, this thing that they did was like, because obviously after the event, after the live show that they did that we all showed up for, you know, it was just like it was a lot of events happening around in town and everything, and like, you know, they did a live episode of Gamescoop from this bar downtown, and we were in bars a lot, but it was a lot of podcast Beyond fans all drinking together for a couple of days straight. And you just be drinking and you hear somebody in the background go Beyond, and then everybody in unison would just yell Beyond. And so, so if you hear somebody meow really loudly at PAX, it is your duty as a game cat to meow back as loud as you possibly can. And we'll just confuse the fuck out of everyone.
And run on over on all four legs.
That might be too much, but
yeah,
I say do it. Time to play VR with the $2 says Stilt is my new favorite game, except for the green. Did I read this wrong? Stilt is my new favorite game, except for the green. The green?
Either Green Hell. Nah, he doesn't mean that. Is there something green in the game that causes issues?
My brain is fried. I don't know.
Time to play VR, I feel like, has been doing a lot of riddles today.
I mean, it makes the show fun. Nothing like having to translate and interpret each of the tips. But I'll take the first half first, Miles. I was gonna call you a different name as if you were some game show host.
Whatever. What are names anyway?
But then I realized that I just tried to call you AJ, and like no one would have gotten the joke. They'd be like, Brian's really losing his shit today. But yeah, still being your new favorite game, except for anything, is great, because Stilt's a lot of fucking fun, man. Stilt's a lot of fun. The multiplayer is a blast.
Don't need to do that.
Single player stuff. You know what, dude? Somebody wrote to me on Discord, and I apologize again. I've not been good at personal messages.
But green blinders. That's what they were talking about. The green blinders.
Oh yes, and that is getting patched out. Like
the screen goes completely green when you.
Yep. And that is getting patched out this week, thankfully. So, dude, so somebody left me a message on Discord saying, hey, my review is linked in the official PlayStation 5 store, like on your console. You know how they actually have videos on the console where they don't on the PC. They said my review was linked on the PlayStation store itself. So I was like, fucking crazy. I'm going to have to check that shit out.
Dude, why don't they do more of that? Like, Sony, they always include, like, the trailer. They should include, and they can curate it themselves. Like, it's not, it has to be automated. Like, if they find a good review or a Let's Play, they should include it on the store. Like,
yeah.
But then, dude, what you were talking about with AJ on Wednesday, I was completely on Monday, I was completely on board with regarding just what a disgrace the PlayStation Store is. You know, people on day one, that's when they make the most sales. And when you mentioned how you will type in the full name and the game won't come up, I was like, yeah, I've done that as well, and I can't believe it. You type in the full name of a game and it doesn't even give you that game, even though you're typing it exactly. It's appalling.
Yeah.
Speaking
of text messages and messages I haven't responded to, you sent me that on Monday, and I don't think I looked today when I sent you a text, and I was like, oh, I never even responded to him. You had messaged me and saying, hey, I totally agreed with your rant about the PlayStation Store. And I was just like, and I nodded. I was like, but nodding is not a proper response to a text message, because only I saw the nodding, and Tornado was like, why are you nodding? And that's as far as that communication went. So yeah. High Phase with the Canadian $20 tip says, Big Shots looks really cool. Titanfall would have been the ultimate dream game for VR for me. It screams VR AF. I never played Titanfall, but Titanfall did look like a lot of fun, especially Titanfall 2.
I think it's Titanfall 2 is the one that everyone says is absolutely fantastic. Because yes. I know when Apex Legends came out, everyone was saying, oh yeah, it was based on the Titanfall, and everyone talks about, I think, like, the final battle in Titanfall 2 is like iconic in gaming, and I've always managed to stay away from it, to not spoil it. I should probably dive in and experience it, but yeah.
Thanks for the support, HiFaze, and everybody, of course, and the list of games that we could just create right now, being like, I wish this was in VR. Endless. The Game Cat, Andrew Ehrenreich with the $5 tip, says, late to the stream, super busy making pizzas. Shocked you hated Twilight Zone. It's definitely rough, but I really liked it. Don't worry. Still love you guys. Yeah, I want to be clear, is that I think you and I probably agree to an extent, Andrew. There are things that are very cool in the game, like, but those concepts are not well fleshed out. And so I think you and I probably enjoyed the same part of the game, but I guess, I don't know, man. You tell me what you liked about Chapter 2, because Chapter 2 was terrible. Like, terrible. Chapter 3 had a cool moment or two, and Chapter 1 overall was a very cool concept. But, man, yeah. I mean, it obviously didn't help that I was dealing with massive frame rate issues and stuttering constantly. Not Sure Brando with the level 3 membership. Yeah, don't forget, you guys. You can leave, if you're a member over here, you get a free super chat every month. Not Sure Brando says, actually, Brian suffering for the sins of the developers makes him the VR Jesus. Oh boy. I just want to go on the record and say, Not Sure Brando said that. I did not.
VR Jesus.
Right? Can have some John Lennon drama over here in a second. All right, Miles, let's talk about, Fox Die Infected with the €2 says, another one to pay the taxes for the other one.
For the other one. Amazing.
It's crazy, you guys. It is crazy. The U.S. government hates when you own a small business, and when it's as small as this is, there's no way to hide shit. It's just like, oh, here's your form from Google, here's your form from Patreon, and you get raked over the coals. So maybe when this is $1 million a year business, I'll be able to hire lawyers to, hide my income. The less you make, the more you pay. But thankfully, you guys, and this is why you guys hear sirens all the time, because I live cheap. I really do. I don't live in the best place. My vehicle is older than Miles. And so I don't have a car payment every month. My mortgage is paid off for the last like 5 years ago. And so if it wasn't for that, I would still be working at the restaurant constantly. So these are sacrifices you make, it's like, this is what I want to do. These are sacrifices I made. And so, that's on me. That's not on anyone else. But I feel very fortunate that I get to do this, but that's why you hear the sirens. That's why, everything seems like it's broken all the time, because it kind of is. And Fifth with the Australian $2 tip says, any Cube info? Yeah, it comes out tomorrow. Yep. That's the embargo is also tomorrow.
And we've been playing it.
Yeah. Yep. That is all the info I think we've got for you. I think it's officially $30. And my review will be late because of life. Okay, Miles, one more game got a release date, and this one
Genotype.
I am excited for, because was it a month ago or so? Wes, hold on a second, Geno, how do you type? There it is. Here's some footage of me playing it. A month ago, Wes and I played some Quest 3 games. We played Genotype, we played the Titanic game, and something else. Oh, the Overdark demo. We played that on Steam. And because all those games are coming to PSVR 2, and we want to do a little preview show. And I've been curious about Genotype for a while. Dude, it's so crazy that VR has been around for a while. And we just, there seems to be certain genres that we're just lacking in. And I don't think Genotype goes above and beyond to do anything spectacular, but what it's doing is really solid, and it delivers on a genre like this single player shooter adventure, good progression system that we just don't see very often, especially in the indie space. And so this, I don't even remember how much I played, maybe the first 2 hours, I forget what it was. I didn't want to stop. I wanted to keep playing. I wanted to keep exploring. I wanted to keep progressing. I wanted to keep upgrading my skills. This game, it was good on Quest 3, right? And if we even get like a solid Quest 3 port, I'll be happy. But if they're going to be taking advantage of, a few of the PSVR 2 special features, then this could be really special. Have you been keeping your eye on this one, Miles, or is this one kind of out of left field for you?
It's been out of field for me, but like from seeing the trailer and stuff, I was wondering if it was horror at first, but it looks like it's just a fun action adventure with some creepy enemies. The swimming mechanics look cool, and it's obviously going to be polished for a trailer, but it looks really good. And it looks like it's got some really interesting mechanics with the way that you can adjust the tools that you're using. If it gets a good port, looks like it could be another solid entry for the library.
Yeah, it's definitely got some, I'm not going to say, I think Wes was referring to it as the closest we've gotten to Dead Space in VR. I don't think he means that from a horror level. I think he just means from a gameplay perspective. It's got a horror vibe going on, right? Everything is, abandoned and desolate. But so far, I haven't seen anything like really scary. But you do progress through, and you get upgrades, and it's again very desolate space station type atmosphere. So I can see the comparisons. And one of the things I really really enjoyed was that you're never forced to sit there and stand and watch somebody talk at you. Right? You find audio logs, you start playing them, and you just keep playing the game as they're playing. This game is all about gameplay, and the narrative is there, but it's not punching you in the face. It's like, it's just kind of there for people who really want to take it all in. And, really enjoyed what I played so far. I saw somebody in the chat say, Marsh Robot says, he said it was a good game, not great. Definitely worth playing. And I agree with you. So
I like good games.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. He's saying a 7 out of 10. I say that in jest,
but I'm also being quite serious, which is like, they don't always have to be great. You can play good games and have a really good time with them. So
yeah.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. He's saying 7 out of 10. And like, and honestly, if it's a straight Quest 3 port, I'll be like, yeah, I think I'm going to be with you. But if they do any kind of like real immersion increasing upgrades, one of the things, cause you're using this grapple type thing that comes out of your, glove, it's obviously more complicated than that. It's like all bio whatever, like different different things that you I'm not gonna get into it. It's pointless. If you want to hear me and Wes talk about Genotype for way too long, then there's an episode that you can search for and find. But one of the things that was really lacking in the Quest 3 version were really good haptics. You were doing things like ripping things off walls and like it didn't really feel like it. It felt kind of like bare and empty. And if they can really utilize the adaptive triggers and the haptics from the Sense controllers, they could make this all feel way more immersive. And that's when the score starts, I think, bumping up a little bit. So we will see if they put the time and effort into making that happen. Good. GameCat Andrew Ehrenreich responded to my Twilight Zone comment about Chapter 2. He says, Chapter 2 was, they shouldn't have told the story at the start and let us figure it out from the newspapers, but the whole story was great, especially as someone who grew up loving Twilight Zone. Okay. All right. I'll give you that. I got real excited when I saw some little callbacks to the original Twilight Zone episodes. There's like collectibles you can find that are like, oh shit, I remember this episode. This is cool. It's so cool they included this. You know, but yeah, not too many of those moments. Time to play VR with the 2 quid says, I can only afford 50 letters at a time. Money is a... What do you think the missing word is, Miles?
There's only one way to find out.
Nice. I love it. I love how everything is a everything is a mystery. Miles, what was the release date for this? Dude, March 23rd for Genotype.
So while we're away.
Yep. It's almost like they planned it that way. Don't trust anybody.
I was so glad that Madison got delayed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, this is crazy. This is crazy. I got a message from somebody on the YouTube channel saying, man, if you want to up your subscribers, if you want to, if you want people to watch your channel more and blah, 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 you need to cover PC gaming and Quest gaming. You need to cover all these other platforms. And I was like, that's a nice sentiment to be like, hey, I want to watch your channel more and have you cover more games, and like I'm concerned about your growth. It's a nice sentiment, but dude, we are not starved for games over here. Like I have too many games to cover. I'm not going to be able to get reviews out in a timely manner. They're just pouring in, and you know, some of them seem like they're going to be great. So like, you know, I appreciate the sentiment, but the fact is that like it's one of me. And I am trying to do a lot. This is if PSVR 2 dies out, if this ends up being a massive failure, I'm going down with the ship again. Just like I went down with the PSVR 1 ship. And that's how it's gonna be. If that's your feeling on the matter, that you think I need to cover everything, then I appreciate it. But I've already heard it numerous times. So no need to bring it up. Sirens on my end. Shouldn't say quasi says, I'm only here for the PC VR coverage. Wonderful. Thanks for being here.
It's coming.
Indeed. All right. Miles, are you ready to play a little 20 questions?
I am, Brian. Are you choosing?
I am.
Okay.
Yep. I think Wes got me with Just in Time Incorporated on Wednesday. Yeah. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. You know why it's a tough one? Because Des reviewed that, and that, which means I never even beat it. I don't think I ever beat it. Yep. All right, guys, help him out in the chat. You know how this works. It's really difficult to play this game, to be on the receiving end. That sounded not how I meant it. So help him out. Suggest good games that might be, and suggest good questions that he might ask. I'm thinking of a PSVR 1 or PSVR 2 game. Let's do this shit. 20 yes or no questions, 6 minutes, putting a clock up on the counter. On your mark, get Des.
This is how I'm doing hands-free.
Go.
Does it have a multiplayer, Brian?
No. Not in any traditional sense, no.
Okay. Is it a PSVR 2 game?
Yep.
Is it on PSVR?
It's not. See, this isn't Monday. I only torture AJ because I torture those I love. I don't love you, Miles.
Great. That's good. That's good to know. Have they gone for a realistic aesthetic?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Is it horror?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Is it a popular IP?
It is a known IP.
Known IP. I'll tell you known IP. Did it come out in 2023?
Yes.
And was it a launch title?
No.
Not a launch title. Okay. Has this developer made other PSVR 2 games?
No.
Okay, so it's not propagation. And it wasn't on PSVR, so it's not affected the manner. Is there full locomotion?
No, that's 10.
Okay. Is it a rail shooter?
Yes.
Is it Switchback, Brian?
It is Switchback by Supermassive Games. It was supposed to be a launch title. It came out a little bit later than expected. It came out in March 16th, so less than a month after launch, 2023. Miles, I know this was like a super easy, slow ball, over the plate, nice and easy pitch. Sirens on my end. But the reason I had to bring it up is because I forgot to mention on the show, so I had to kind of like use this as a extra news story. There's a price drop for Switchback. It's down from $40 to $30. And if you guys have been paying attention to all the updates, the visual updates that it received, the gameplay updates it received, the Horde mode update it received, then you'll know the loading time update, all that stuff. You know, it's definitely a much more of a complete game, much more of a of the game it should have been at launch. And the price, I feel like, also reflects a price that it should have been at launch. Rush of Blood was $20 and felt like it was underpriced. This was $40, felt like it was overpriced. Permanent price drop to $30. I definitely had a good enough time with this to recommend it.
I think it's awesome. It looks so good now. It looks so good after they did that update.
Yeah.
Very well polished. Brian, before we wrap things up, did you see PlayStation's new multiplayer trailer they released?
I did. What did you think of it?
I liked it.
Yeah?
I loved it.
Is that because you work for Rapid Eye Movers now and you have to like it?
No.
That was really mean.
No, it's fair. For me, it's because it's an advert that does more than just this is VR, this is why it's good, this is what it is to play with friends. Mm-hmm. And what I want them to do more marketing of is contextual marketing. This is for these type of gamers. Like, they should do a trailer for, like, if you're into shooters, if you're into horror. Do you know what I mean? To sort of really ignite those feelings. And I think this is a great trailer that really ignites what it's like to play with other people in VR. Because people often will think of VR as quite an isolating experience, but actually playing multiplayer. There's a lot of, Vertigo Games did well there because they had the Arizona Sunshine 2, then it went into After the Fall almost seamlessly, actually, in the edit. It has obviously Beat Saber in there. Yes, it does have C-Smash VRS. I think it's a solid advert, and I'd like the energy of, like, this is what it is to play multiplayer in VR. And I hope that PlayStation does more ads where it's kind of like curating the VR experience based on the types of people that will. You know, there are different types of gamers. We know that. But that's also the case for VR. And I think for VR, you have to lean into those specific wants more, because buying PSVR 2 is a bigger ask.
I'm glad they featured No Man's Sky so heavily in this. I don't think, as somebody who doesn't really, get the hook with No Man's Sky. And again, it is something that I kind of promised myself I was going to do this year and like make sure I take a whole weekend off or something and play a lot of No Man's Sky and like, you know, find the love that everyone else has for it. It is undeniably a massive game with massive appeal, and we have the best looking version of it on PSVR 2, the most immersive version, the best looking version. It's one of those games that you could buy a PSVR 2 for No Man's Sky alone, and then hundreds of hours later go, yeah, that was worth it. Right? Same with Gran Turismo. I think same for the Resident Evil games. You know, the purchase is worth it for these games alone. And then we're just spoiled for choice after that. Like, there's so much good stuff going on. Lots of great games.
Yeah, showing No Man's Sky, they had Demio in there. They had Crossfire Sierra Squad. That's, you know, one of these games that people always say, like, why aren't they talking about that? Yeah. You know, No Man's Sky doesn't get brought up in a lot of content. Obviously, they have Gran Turismo 7, Creed, Arizona Sunshine 2, After the Fall. I'm just even Ghostbusters, Rise of the Ghost Lord, and Among Us VR. Like, right. That's a good mix, man.
I feel like they have to contractually include Ghostbusters. It's like, yeah, it's a Sony property. Shove it in there.
Yeah, and when it comes to Ghostbusters, with all the problems I've got with it, I'm actually, it's a game. Do you know what it is? I have an issue when they include certain games when it's at the expense of, but why didn't they include that? Do you know what I mean? Kind of like when they show the four games and one of them is Project Wingman and you're like, what?
Yep.
Whereas in this, when it's, again, showing multiplayer, Ghostbusters, and again, I think Ghostbusters is a game that a lot of young VR players are enjoying. I think it's good to include that in there. So, I put the commercial in the chat, and actually, nice. One of the top comments someone said for that was probably the best marketing they've done for the VR headset. All the headsets are on, and they didn't have to pay a celebrity a few million to pretend to play it. Keep it up, Sony. Nice. But I love that so much. Yep. But it's true. Just we just want to just celebrate the games and the experiences and make it contextual. So yeah.
This trailer, you said it makes you want to get into Demio, dude. It makes me want to like slide my racing rig back closer to my PlayStation 5 so I can plug it in again and play some Gran Turismo, because that is some good ass footage they were showing of that. So
yeah.
It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. Zeke in the chat was asking what happened to Zenith, the last city. I just got a press release from them about them going free to play. I know that people were complaining it wasn't on the store like it was supposed to be. It came off the store. It's getting back on the store. If it's not on there currently, then I'm sure it will be soon. There is a complete, it's gone free to play, and you can still buy Zenith, the last city, the stuff that we played up until this point, as paid DLC, but it's not necessary to play the free to play mode. So that's what's happening with Zenith. Miles, we were like, let's make this short and sweet, because neither one of us were feeling up to it. So I want to thank you, Miles, for being here for me, and of course everybody in the chat being here for both of us, because I will tell you, I feel infinitely better now than I did an hour and a half ago. I still definitely want to go back to bed, and I'm gonna say it's the coffee along with the cat support. But we want to thank all you guys for being here. It was really, really great of you.
I'm definitely going to take a screenshot of this, because something I've done today on my Instagram was on my story post today. I started the day and it was me in bed going, I have one objective today, and it's to kick depression's ass. And all I've done today is show photos of like everything I've done to try and shake off these blues. Things like, you know, going for walks or doing a bit of exercise in VR. I did a flotation tank, all that sort of stuff. And this is going to be a great way to top off the day, because hanging out with Game Cats, always awesome, always lifts my spirits. So thank you everyone for sure. Tuning in.
For sure. Yeah. And if anyone out there, you know, like deals with depression, like please, like just know you're not alone. It can feel so lonely sometimes. It can feel so overbearing, overwhelming, and it seems like there's no way out. But, you know, I think these last few years have been the great equalizer and put a lot of people who were very used to getting out and used to seeing their friends and doing stuff. You know, it's changed a lot of people. It's changed the way a lot of people live. And, you know, and I think a lot of more people are struggling now than ever. So just remember that, you know, that if you ever need someone to talk to, like our community is amazing. And I'm not trying to promote the Discord. I don't make any money off of Discord. So it's like, I try to promote it, but I'm like, I try to promote it for, to be a place that where people can hang out and shoot the shit. And it doesn't have to be about PSVR 2. It can just be like, hey, anyone want to jump in voice chat and just shoot the shit for a little while. And it's just, it's a great community, man. So please take advantage of it. Especially if if you're suffering in any way. All right, man. Let's get out of here. Thank you to everybody who supports the channel financially. You're doing fucking God's work out there. I swear there's going to be Patreon content at some point. Like I said, I was just testing out the mic last night, doing some Twilight Zone. And there will definitely be some Let's Plays up on Patreon over the next... If I can get one up there before PAX East and then start getting them up again after PAX East, that'll be great. But if not, please understand. I'm doing my absolute best. Thanks to everybody who's a member over here. Thanks to everybody who tips during the show. It means so much. We appreciate it. Dude, all the people behind the scenes, all of my moderators helping to keep YouTube up and running, to keep the Discord up and running, Rypop for putting this up on podcast services. I always want to say Sci-Fi Game Cat Henry, but the timestamps have now been taken over by Rhodey, the Game Cat Army General. Guys, we fucking love you guys. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who watch the show, sit back, and they'll say a goddamn word. Numbers don't lie. We know you're out there, and we love you just as much. Happy Friday, Miles.
Happy Friday, Brian. And next Friday, who knows what's going to happen, because we're going to be at PAX East.
Let's do it. Man, what a terrible, terrible thumbnail. This is awful. It's like Big Shots and Genotype get new release dates as if they had old release dates. And now they've got new, more accurate ones. This is what happens when you just... I literally did not decide to do this show until about 20 minutes before we went live. So my apologies for that. Miles, before we do Clip of the Week, I saw old Darth in the chat asking if this would be the last episode of Gamescast before PAX. And as you know, I have no idea like how anything's working. We don't, I'm not good at planning stuff out. I take every day by day. What can I do today? What can I do tomorrow? What can I do the day after? But I only take it day by day. And so I don't really think too far ahead because I can't, I just don't have the brain capacity for it. So, it's an interesting question. I do think you'll see a show Monday. The big question is going to be Wednesday. I don't know if Wes will be already traveling by that point, or if he'll be too busy.
I'll be in Boston.
You'll already be in Boston.
And I'm not sure if I'm doing my Miles Dyer live show because it normally happens basically when I land because of the time difference now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I could always come over and do the show with you over there.
I mean, dude, but if you want to come over Wednesday and just scooch up next to me, we can totally do a show with Wes on Wednesday.
Let's do that. Oh, dude, I'll be down for that.
Wes is in the chat. He says I fly Thursday. So it sounds like, I guess we're doing a show Wednesday. See, look at this. This is the only way I can work is when the question comes up, we answer it then. and then obviously we're all going to be at PAX on Friday. So, people have been asking, what are your plans? Are you going to live stream? Are you going to like do a show? Like, how is it all going to work? We don't know, but we do promise you we will make something happen. That's the only thing I've got for you right now. You guys have been amazing with your generosity, amazing with your support. We are going to make something happen. You got us all to PAX. And so it's the absolute least we can do to make sure that we give you plenty of content from the show. So, Miles.
Brian.
We have a clip of the week. We've got so many great clips of the week that go back. Like, I mean, if you post a clip of the week in our Discord because you got something funny that happened to you during a game or whatever, dude, post it and don't expect it to be on that week's show because like we're pretty backlogged on this stuff. There's really great clips over there. So put it up there and then hopefully over the next month we'll use it. And this one comes to us from Distracted. Let's check this shit out. Miles, are you familiar with the subreddit, Am I the Asshole?
Yeah. I'm always on it.
Yeah, always asking, is it me or is it everyone else? That I feel like that clip is a story that could be described on that subreddit, and be like, no. For the first time on this subreddit, the person relaying the story is definitely the asshole. It's like, stop trying to take shit from NPCs, dude. I love it. All right, guys, we're going to take off, but thank you again for being here, and we will see you over on Discord, if not on next week's show, I guess. Have a great weekend, everybody. We love you all.